Friends, we've been talking about God's kingdom these last few weeks together, what God's kingdom is like, knowing that that's what Jesus talked about more than anything else is God's kingdom. And so we look at another one of those kingdom parables today, Jesus telling us what it is that God's kingdom is like. And today it comes from that 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Hear these words. Jesus told them another parable. He said, the kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our assignment, plain and simple, change the world. Our assignment, plain and simple, change the world. And I bet right now, if each one of us knew exactly what it would take in order to do that, we'd do it. Right? I mean, if someone were to come down here this morning and say to us, I know exactly what you can do in order to end hunger today, we would find a way to do it. Right? I mean, if somebody was here today and said, you have a part to play in ending the devastating effects of worldwide poverty or bring a cure to AIDS, we'd find a way to do it, wouldn't we? I mean, if somebody invited us into a process that would transform this very neighborhood in which we are sitting in right now, if we could find a way that every kid in this neighborhood would have a safe place to call home, if we could find a way to strengthen all of the families, shatter all of the addictions, repair every home in this neighborhood, if we could become the beacon of light and hope to all of Redford, we'd find a way to do it, wouldn't we? Because deep down, that's what we all want, isn't it? Isn't it? Don't you want to be a part of something bigger and better than just yourself? I mean, don't you yearn to know that you are and can make a difference in this world? So that when it's all said and done, people will look upon your life and say, that is something of lasting significance. That something is better because you and I have had the privilege to walk the face of this earth. Isn't that what we all yearn for and desire? To make a difference in this world? And yet that hope is often assaulted by that other little voice that gnaws on us and speaks into our ear. You can't make a difference. The problems are too big and you're too small. There's no way all of your efforts are going to make any significance at all. We are bombarded with an onslaught of suffering and pain on our televisions and in our newspapers, so much that we often sit and think, there is nothing I can do to change this world. And so there we sit. We sit in that tension between that ultimate hope that yes, yes, we could do something to make a difference in this world, and that nagging doubt that says there's nothing you can do that will make a difference anyway. And that is exactly where Jesus comes to us this morning. Jesus comes to us this morning in the midst of that tension, and he has something to say to us. And what does he say to us? He talks about his kingdom, because that's what Jesus is always talking about. Jesus is always talking about his kingdom. He talks about his kingdom more than he talks about anything else. He talks about what it looks like when God is in our midst. And never forget what Jesus first says about that kingdom of God. He says it's right here. It's right now. The kingdom of God is at hand, and you and I have an opportunity to live into its fullness right here. It's not some pie in the sky, by and by when we die kind of theology. No, Jesus says the kingdom of God has come among us. And so if you're like me, you sit there and you say, well, Jesus, tell us what it looks like. Jesus says, you want to know what it looks like? He said, it looks like yeast. He said, it looks like yeast that a woman takes and puts into 3 measures of flour, and then she rolls her sleeves up and she puts her hands in that dough and she works it. She works it. She kneads it. She gets that yeast mixed all in throughout that dough, and then she lets it sit and she watches it rise. Jesus says that's what the kingdom of God is like. And if you're like me, you're like, say what? Yeast? That's all you got, Jesus? We're talking about the mysteries of the universe here. We're talking about the kingdom of God, the very meaning of life, and all you got for me is a handful of yeast and a couple bags of flour? Come on, Jesus, there's got to be more than that. Excuse us this morning if we're just a bit underwhelmed. And yet Jesus says that is exactly what the kingdom of God is like. So what's Jesus getting at? Well, I think it starts with that flour. Did you notice what the parable said about the flour? It was very specific how much flour that woman was working with. It said 3 measures of flour. And friends, that's a lot of flour. That's like 50 pounds of flour. That's enough flour to make 150 to 200 loaves of bread. I asked Claire, how many loaves of bread does it take to feed the homeless down at the NOAA Project? She said it takes anywhere between 30 and 40 loaves of bread. We're talking 150 to 200 loaves of bread in this parable alone. Can you picture it? One woman working with 50 pounds of flour. Getting her hands in there and working it. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is just like that. Its vision is that big. Its hope is that expansive. It's right. The people of God are called to work with the 3 measures of flour. To dream that big. What are the things that keep us awake at night? What are the problems of this world that seem so big that we can't do anything about it? Jesus says that's where my kingdom begins, with the big stuff, with the big dreams and the big visions, with the 3 measures of flour. Friends, how big is our kingdom vision? How big is it? Because, you know, it's the people of faith, it's the followers of Jesus. We are the ones who are literally supposed to dream and envision and work towards a day when nobody in this world ever goes hungry. Our dream is to be that big. Our dream is to be so big that we would actually imagine and work towards a day where every kid in our community would know how to read. Our dream is supposed to be that big. Our vision for church is a vision that expands beyond the walls of this building, out into the community, out into the world. Jesus says the kingdom of God begins with more flour than you think you can handle, because there is a world full of people who need to be fed. Jesus says, take 3 measures of flour, take more flour than you think you can handle, and begin working with that. How on earth, Jesus, do we live into such a big, big vision like that? Jesus says it takes yeast. He says, be like the yeast. Yeast is pretty amazing, and you think about it. Yeast is absolutely amazing. Do you know that yeast is so tiny that one yeast is barely discernible to the naked eye? It's one yeast, I think I was reading, is about 3 micrometers in diameter. And yet, that little element is alive and it's active. And when it's put into the dough, changes the dough. That little yeast can take that dough and expand it sometimes 2, maybe even 3 times its size. Jesus says we are to be like yeast. Could you imagine what would happen if the yeast said, I can't do it. It's too big. There's nothing I can do to change it. Could you imagine what the world would be like if Christians said, can't do anything about hunger. Can't do anything about homelessness. Can't do anything about Katrina or Darfur or Detroit or Redford. Just can't do anything about it. The problems are too big and I am way too small. Can't do anything about it. And yet Jesus says we are to be like yeast, trusting that our little acts of faith, hope, love, and justice actually change the world, actually impact the world, because the yeast has an assignment, doesn't it? The yeast has a job to do. The yeast has a mission. And what is its mission? That's right. Change the loaf. Expand the loaf. To change the world. Don't be content with the way things are. Look at the world and say, what can I do to make it better? You and I are called to be the yeast in the world, to be the very presence of God wherever we find ourselves. You need to be the yeast in the places that you work. You are the one who is to keep people encouraged. You are the one who's the presence of God in your workplace, expanding God's kingdom, cutting off gossip, not allowing jokes that simply aren't appropriate or funny or damaging to others to stop. We are to be God's presence in our workplace. We're to be God's presence in our neighborhood, reaching out to those newcomers who've just moved in, looking out for neighborhood kids. Be the one who delivers the food or the note when somebody is sick or someone has experienced loss. Wherever Christians are in the world, the kingdom of God is supposed to be growing. It's supposed to be expanding. Did you notice in the parable what the woman does? Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a woman who takes more dough than she thinks she can handle, puts the yeast in it, and then what does she do? She rolls up her sleeves, she gets her hands in it, and she works it. She spreads the yeast throughout the dough. We are called to be active, active with our faith. To get in there, into the world, and make things happen, and make things grow. Because that's exactly what our God is like. You know, somewhere along the line, most of us have been taught, or at least come to experience, that God is distant, that God is far away, that God is detached and removed from this world. And then we've been taught if our God is detached and removed, that our job is to do everything we can to try to get to God. That all of our work and all of our effort and all of our prayer and all of our mission and service is somehow an attempt for us to get to God. Well, if the church believes that God is detached, no wonder our activities is sometimes detached from the lives of the community around us. For if we believe God is detached and our work is to get to God, then all of our spiritual work is ultimately about us. Oh, but we follow a different God, a God who came to us. Never forget that. If you don't hear anything else I say today, remember that God comes to us. In Jesus, God did not wait for us to come to Him, but God came to us. God is not detached, removed, or distant. God is right here in the mix. Just like the woman in the parable, God rolled up God's sleeves and got His hands messy and dirty in the workings of humanity, doing everything He could to spread the yeast of His love and His compassion and His justice throughout the loaf of our lives. That is the God we follow. And the church is to be a model of that God, a church that rolls up its sleeve, a church that doesn't believe that the essence of its existence exists between its own walls. The church has never been called to build its own kingdom, but to understand that its job is to go out into the world and live into the work that God is already doing out there. I mean, it's like a football game if you think about it. You know, sometime today, 40, 50,000 people are going to pack Ford Field to watch a football game today. Right? I think John and Lori are going to watch a football game this afternoon. Do you know that those 40 or 50,000 people don't come to watch the huddle? They don't come to watch the team huddle. They come to see if the huddle makes any difference. And with the Lions, we're still wondering, aren't we? If the huddle makes any difference. Do you know the world around us is wondering if this huddle is going to make any difference? It's not enough to get here and huddle and call the plays every week. The world around us is wondering, is this huddle going to make any difference in the world? See, the kingdom of God is like that, Jesus says. The kingdom of God is like a woman who takes more dough than she thinks she can handle. It's like a church that dreams dreams bigger than it can handle. And then that woman takes the yeast and she puts it in the dough. And we, through our little acts of compassion and mercy and justice, being the yeast in the places where we work, begin to change the nature of the dough. And then that woman rolls up her sleeves and she gets her hands into the mess of the dough, just as the church is to roll up its sleeves and get itself out beyond its walls, out into its neighborhoods and the world around it. Anybody a baker in here? Anybody bake bread? Any bread bakers out there? Ask a bread baker what the most fun part of the bread baking is. It's the kneading. It's the working it. It's the getting it all together. And then when the kneading is done comes the most amazing moment of all. Because all you can do then is let the dough sit. You've done all the work you can do. You've worked it. You've mixed the ingredients. You've measured them out. And now all you can do is let the dough sit and let the yeast do what the yeast does. And that is expand the dough. There comes this moment in kingdom work when all we can do is sit back and watch God do what God's gonna do. And when we sit back and we do our work and we get our hands dirty and then sit back and watch our little acts of faith change and transform into things we never, ever could have imagined. Jesus says, you want to be a part of my kingdom, be in a kingdom like that. Being a kingdom that acts like a woman who takes on more flour than she can handle, sprinkles it with her yeast, rolls up her sleeves, digs her hands into it, and then watches God do what God is gonna do. His name was Reverend Peter Solberg. He's a pastor of an evangelical free church in Connecticut. And he gave his church a kingdom assignment. He preached on the parable of that we talked about today. And in that story, he challenged his congregation to be the leaven in the loaf out into the world, the dream of a ministry that expands way beyond the walls of his church. And then he said, all I'm looking for today is 10 people. All I'm looking for today is 10 people who agree to be the leaven in the loaf. And then he stood up in front of the congregation and he waited. He waited for 10 people to come forward. None of them knew what he was about to ask them to do. Among the 10 was 6-year-old Emily Samuelson. Emily stood up in front of that group. And then the pastor went into his pocket and he pulled out 10 crisp $100 bills. And he went down the row and he put a $100 bill in each of those 10 people's hands, including 6-year-old Emily. He said, this is your yeast. I want you to take this $100 bill and I want you to go out into the world and I want you to do something with it that's going to expand God's kingdom. And all I ask is that in 90 days you come back to this church and you tell us the story of how that yeast rose and multiplied and changed the world. Well, here's little Emily's, 6-year-old Emily's story. Emily went home and prayed about it and thought about it. Emily lost her friend TJ to cancer. TJ was only 4 years old, and in her prayer, she kept hearing God call her to do something for kids like TJ and their families. And out of that, a ministry called Crayons for Cancer was born. She took her $100 and she bought some crayons and she bought some trays that come in all kinds of fancy shapes. Then she got her mom and her dad and her family together, and they took the covers off of all of those crayons and they divided them up into colors, and they melted that wax down into really cute little shapes, hearts and stars and the kind of things that come in cookie cutter shapes. And they put them in little baggies and they set up in the places around their community, and they sold those little bags for $1 a piece. And with the money that has been raised from that, they've started a ministry at the Connecticut Children's Cancer Hospital. They started the Family Fund, which provides money for families to cover expenses that insurance doesn't cover, to pay for things like parking, to pay for food at the cafeteria. She started a treasure chest so that kids, after they've gone through a difficult chemo treatment, can come and pick a prize out of the treasure chest. 18 months later, that $100 bill has now raised almost $20,000 in money for kids with cancer. You can hardly find a week where their living room isn't filled with people, with neighbors, with people who have no connection to the church at all, and they're sitting in the living room and they're peeling crayons and they're putting them into wax holds and they're going around their community and they're selling these little trinkets for $1 a piece. She has every restaurant in Greater Connecticut sending them their used crayons. Ask little Emily what the kingdom of God looks like. And here's what she's going to tell you. She says the kingdom of God is like a 6-year-old girl who takes crayons and melts them down into shapes and sells them for $1 a piece, so that kids like her, who are going through a harder time than any kid should ever have to go through, will know that God has not forgotten them. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. And so all I want to know this morning is if we at Redford Aldersgate are ready to be the leaven in the loaf, to be the yeast out in the community. And just like that pastor out in Connecticut, all I need today is 10. All I need today is 10. I'm looking for 10 people who are willing to take on a kingdom assignment this morning. If you're ready, we'll wait. I'm going to wait for you this morning. Somebody, if you're ready, just come on down, raise your hand, say, I'm willing to be a part of the kingdom assignment. There's one. I'm looking for 9 more people who are willing to be a part of the kingdom assignment. I got lipstick on my cheek. That's from Claire. There's 2, 3. Joe, come on down. You can bring that baby too. Maybe that baby's got the plan. Fran, come on down. There's 3.
Need to talk to you later.
You got to talk to me later. That's good. There's 3. 7 more. I'm just looking for 7 more. Kelly, play the organ. Do something. Play Just As I Am. We'll wait. Here comes John. Here comes 1, 2, 3. I got all men so far. Chris, come on down. Yeah, come on down. Let her down. Usually I thought I'd have to pull the men up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I just need 3 more. 3 more people who are willing to be leaven in the loaf. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. 2 more. 2 more. We'll keep the buses waiting. We'll keep the buses waiting. Charlotte's coming. Oh, we got our 10. No, I got 12. That's the way it works out. See, come on up. Come on up. Our friends at Ypsilanti First have been doing something called the Kingdom Assignment for the last 3 years. They've been doing exactly what that church in Connecticut did, is they call people forward and they put a $100 bill in their hand and say, this is the yeast that I'm calling you to go out into the world and make a difference. That church has seen untold ministry happen in their midst. And they've gotten so alive with what they call the kingdom assignment is they want to give money to other churches to do that. And so my friend Melanie Carey at Ypsilanti first called me up and said, Jeff, you're not going to believe it, but I got $1,500 I just need you to give away next Sunday. I said, I can do that. I'd be happy to do that. And so, Fran,
you can owe me if you want to pass the other
leaven, side. I'll get some more. Leaven in the loaf. This is the yeast for which God is calling you to go out and do something to expand the work of his kingdom. Isn't this quite a Sunday at service? When you go home today, tell them the pastor was giving out money at Redford Aldersgate. Honey, you're going to need to go to the bank after service. I got two more. Friends, all I ask you is that you remember one thing. It's not our money. This is God's money. And I ask you to take the next 90 days, and pray on it and ask God to do something with that yeast that multiplies and expand his kingdom. And then all I'm going to ask is that 90 days from now, right after the first of the year, you come back. And you tell us the story about what that yeast is doing in the world. I know that we, your church, we will be excited. We're going to pack out the church that day to come and see what God is doing with that yeast in the world. Friends, these are our emissaries. These are our secret agents. These are our leaven in the loaf. And I simply ask as we close our time together this morning that you help me pray with them, that God inspires them to use this yeast to expand his kingdom. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, you've stirred in the hearts of your people today. I don't know what caused each of these people to come down front this morning and say, God, here I am, use me for the expansion of your kingdom, but you have called. And so we take these 12 people who are standing up here today, and I ask that you inspire them, to be the leaven in the loaf, to have dreams as big as 3 measures of flour, to use the little bit that they have been given to push out on the loaf of this world and expand it and grow it and change it and transform it. So not only this world will be changed, but they will be changed and this church will be changed as well. God, thank you for a vision of your kingdom so big that involves people so small like us, so that we can actually join you in the amazing work to which you have called us. God, we thank you for this time together here today. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, at the end of the service today, out in the hallway, there's going to be a little clipboard. I'm going to need your name, your address, and your phone number so I know how to find you. All right? So I know how to find you. And everybody remember these names, because if we don't see them in 90 days, we're going to go find them, right? Right. Friends, would you give a round of applause to these 12 people who are going to be our emissaries out in the world? Go forth, spread God's kingdom. And as we come to a time of close this morning, I invite us to stand and let's join that closing hymn. Gail, I know you're going to come up with something good. I can tell. Michelle, thank you. John, Joe, John, and Fran. God bless you all. Thank you very much. Friends, let's sing Christ for the World.